Today's Shir Masechta Be'ah, Daf Bezum and Aleph, we have the schus to begin Masechta Be'ah. Actually, some of the Goinim and Rishonim call this Masechta Yontif, not Masechta Be'ah, because as we will Mitzvah Shem be learning, a very important part of this Masechta is to teach us many of the Hilchos Yontif, and that's why Goinim and Rishonim call it Masechta Yontif. The reason we call it Masechta Be'ah is, of course, as the Masechta begins to discuss a halacha about Be'ah Shenol de B'Yontif, but why are we focused on the Be'ah Shenol de B'Yontif? So many other halachas we're going to, Mitzvah Shem, be learning about Hilchos Muksa and Hilchos Yontif. So one pshat I saw from the Sefer Michtam LeDavid is that, as we just said, the primary subject of our Masechta Mitzvah Shem is about Yontif. And on Yontif, we get the Simcha. We're supposed to be Simcha, Simchas Yontif. But on the other hand, the Torah says, V'gilu Barada. Even when a Jew is B'Simcha, that joy has to be tempered. V'gilu Barada. And just like we know by the Seder, we eat an egg. Zeichel Avelis, that Avelim, Rechman Slan, eat an egg. And therefore, by when we learn Masechta Yontif, when we learn about all the Hilchos Yontif and the Simchos Yontif that we're going to be discussing, it's important to remember that we have to keep it in check, that it should not be a Simcha that is not the type of Simcha Kodesh Baruch Hu wants. Why is it called Masechta Be'ah? The pronunciation should be Beitzah. So I saw that the Tiferes Yisrael quotes a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Hei Amabez. The Gemara says there that there was a Talmud that got up and gave a shir and said, May Beitzim, egg yolks, are not machshir. We know food is not a Kabbal Tumah unless first it becomes susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah. The way it becomes susceptible to Kabbalah's Tumah is by being wet. And he got up and said, eggs don't have the ability to be machshir. And people got mistaken, and they thought that he didn't mean may beitzim, eggs. He thought they meant may betzoim, water that comes from a swamp, which of course is not true. Water that comes from a swamp is regular water, and it's machshir l'kabal tumah. So because he used the word beitzim, they got confused with beitzim versus betzoim. And from there, they started calling Beitzah, not Beitzah, but they used to call it Be'ah. And therefore, they kept it that even now when we learn Masechta Beitzah, we don't call it Beitzah, we call it Be'ah to avoid that mistake that was made in the time of the Gemara. So, begins the Masechta Be'ah, Shenol de B'Yontif. If an egg was hatched on Yontif, B'Shamra M'Teichel, Beshame says that the egg may be eaten. And Beis Hillel's opinion is, loy teichel, it may not be eaten. And as we're going to be seeing and discussing in Mitzvah Shem, our Mishnah is a very unique situation, because usually when we have a Mishnah, Beshamai adam achmirim, and Beis Hillel adam akilim, Beshamai, and here we have just the opposite. And the three halachas that we're going to learn in our Masechta are all going to be such situations that Beis Shammai is the machmer, Beis Shammai is the mekel, Beis Hillel is the mekel. So the Mefarshim ask, this halacha that we're about to learn is not only regarding a Beis Shenol de B'Yontif, it's also a Beis Shenol de B'Shabbos. So why did our Mishnah choose to speak about a Beis Shenol de B'Yontif and not speak about Shabbos, which of course happens so much more frequently every week? So the Meiri says a simple pshat. As we said, our Masechta is primarily focused on Hilchos Yontif. So that's why the Gemara chose to speak about it in terms of Hilchos Yontif. The other Rishonim that say that even though we're having a Machloikis, if what is the status of a Beis Shenol de B'Yontif, as we just learned, the Machloikis of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, there are Rishonim that say that it's only on Yontif where we have a machlokes. But Shabbos, everybody would agree that it's Asur. The Chasam Sofer just says the opposite. Because we're going to learn in our Gemara, in Mitzvah Shem, in today's Shir, the Chazal were more machmer on Hilchas Muksa, on Yontif, than on Shabbos. And the Gemara will explain why. So the Chasam Sofer wants to suggest that only on Shabbos, is only on Yontif, would Beis Hillel say that the Be'ez Shenolda would be Osir. But on Shabbos, actually, Beis Hillel's opinion would be that it's Mutter. Tosfos asks, why does the Mishnah say Toichel and not Toichel? Usually, when we have this kind of a Machlaikas in a Mishnah, the Gemara would say Osir and Mutter. Why does it say Toichel and Loi Toichel? So Tosfos first says that the word Osir seems to imply that it's Osir forever. And that's not true. Even Beis Hillel, who's taking this stricter approach in our Mishnah, doesn't hold that the Bay is Osir forever. It's only Osir on Yontif. That's why the Mishnah, first Taisus says, doesn't use the word Osir, which would imply forever. But Taisus himself doesn't agree with that teretz. Taisus proves that the word Osir could mean used even when it's not forever. The Miri says that the word Osir does mean forever, and that's why he sticks with that teretz, why our Mishnah didn't use the word Osir. Tosfos, however, says that if our Mishnah would have used the word Osir or Mutter, people would make a mistake and think that even Beis Shammai will agree that the egg may not be eaten. And when Beis Shammai is saying that if it would say Beis Shammai holds its mutter, we would think that it's mutter betiltel, it may be moved, but it may not be eaten. So that's why the Mishnah went out of its way to say that according to Beis Shammai to'ichel, it may be eaten. And once we learn that Beis Shammai says it may be eaten, so that to prove how far he takes his opinion, so the Mishnah said the same word regarding Beis Hillel, the loy to'ichel. Tosfos quotes the Ri, that the Mishnah uses the word oichel because our Mishnah is talking about eggs. And eggs is something that are usually meant for eating. And since the eggs are usually used for eating, so when we talk about eggs, we want to talk about them in Lashon Achila. I saw that the Beis HaLevi, one day, somebody came to the Beis HaLevi and said that they made some sort of a recipe on Yontif out of four eggs, and may we eat them? So the Beis HaLevi said to this girl, her mother had sent her with the Shaila, and he told him, tell your mother that she should wait till Matzah Yontif. So everybody was watching this dialogue between the Beis HaLevi and this girl, and they said, what happened here? So he said, what I understood right away the Shaila. What happened was that this woman had prepared three eggs that were born already before Yontif to make some sort of a recipe on Yontif. On Yontif, we're allowed to cook. Oichel Nefesh. And then after she prepared the recipe, she realized that she had used four eggs and that the fourth egg was an egg that was born on Yontif. And therefore, the question she was asking, that she sent her daughter to ask me, is if one of the eggs is an egg that was born on Yontif, may I eat it or not? And may we use it? And she was told, no, wait for Matzah Yontif, as Beis Hillel said, that we shouldn't eat it on Yontif. Rav Shach used to say that when Rav Akiva Eger Zatzal would learn, he would start Masechta the Be'ya and learn, Be'ya Shenol de B'Yontif, B'Shamay Oimrim, B'Shamay says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Toichel. Beis Shammai is not making up his own opinion. He's mentioning what he believes is the opinion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Toichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're allowed to eat it. And Beis Hillel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Loi Toichel, that we may not eat this egg. When the Chasam Sofer was learning this Mishnah the first time, he was 6 years old, and they told him the Mishnah, and they told him what Rashi says, and they asked him why, as we've been explaining, does it say that Beis Hillel holds that you're not allowed to eat it, and as we've been learning, it means that you can't eat it only until Matzah Yontif, but after Matzah Yontif, you're allowed to eat it. Maybe the Chasam Sofer asked, that the Mishnah means that you may never eat it ever. So the Chasam Sofer answered that we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in our coming shiur that the Beya that's being discussed in our Mishnah is a Beya that is a Dovah Shesh L'Matirim that will ultimately be Mutter. If Beis Hillel meant to say Loi Teuchel, and Beis Hillel means to say Loi Teuchel Olamus, that you may never eat it, then how would we be able to call it a something that's a Dovah Shesh L'Matirim? So here we see that the Beya L'Shinol D'B'Yontif, as we've been learning, it's not allowed to be eaten, it's not allowed to be touched, according to Beis Hillel, because it's Muksa. But it's a very important point that the Ramah makes when we speak, as we begin now, learning Hilchas Muksa. The Ramah in Simen Shin Ches, Sif Gimel, teaches us that Muksa may not be moved on Yontif, but one is allowed to touch Muksa. And even though we're about to learn Hilchas Muksa, we know that we're not allowed to move Muksa, the halach is that you're allowed to touch Muksa. The question is, when the halach is that you're allowed to move Muksa, you're allowed to touch Muksa, doesn't mean under all circumstances, or only when you're touching it, not for the benefit of the Muksa. But if it's for the benefit of the Muksa, then maybe it would be also to move Muksa, not just move Muksa, but it would be also even to touch Muksa. But Shamamrim, another question that they discuss is sor, yeast. We know that if somebody has yeast over Pesach, he's over by Yirah or by Yimotzeh. But Shamamrim sor, because the shear of sor to be over by Yirah by Yimotzeh is a kezayis, chometz, where somebody holds chometz, the shear is a kesevis, v'sil oimrim, zeva kezayis, both of them, the shear is a kezayis. Next question. We know that when somebody shechs a chayiv oif, besides shechting it, you have to do kisui hadam, you have to cover the blood. So now, says the Gemara, shechet chayiv oif b'yontif, somebody shechted a chayiv oif in yontif, and he did not have earth prepared for the shechita. You could take a shovel and get earth v'yichasa to cover the dam. You may not do so. Elm can hire offer mucha mi'boy joim unless you had earth prepared from before yontif. However, Beis Hillel agree shim shachat that if you did shecht a bird or a chaya on yontif and now you have the blood shiachba v'deka v'yichasa that you could take the shovel to prepare earth, and he also said, Eifa Kira ish, that you find by the oven, Muchenhu is now Muksa, and therefore the halacha is you could use it to cover the blood of the behemoth, the Chayor Oif. So many Mefarshim ask that wouldn't it make more sense to teach this halacha of a Shoichit, which is directly related to halachas of Yontif, and then speak about Pesach? So the simple terrors that they give is that since the halacha, when we speak about Pesach, is a very short halacha, kezayis or kesevis. The halacha about the kisui adam is much more complicated and much more involved. So the Mishnah first taught us the simple din, and then the Mishnah taught us the more complicated din. So our Mishnah said that the sor is a different shear, according to Beis Shammai, than the chametz. But the sar that we're talking about has to be sar that can be used to make other doughs into chametz, sourdough. But if it doesn't have that ability, then it's not muksa, because then it wouldn't be usur, because it's nifsa mechilas kalaf. So Amishta said, the machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is, are you allowed to, when you're allowed to do something on yontif, we're allowed to do a meal on yontif. When we're allowed to do a meal on yontif, what does that mean? Does that mean that we're allowed to do all the preparations we need to do for the mila, for the shechita, or not? And the same question we learned in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Nun Gimel regarding a bris mila. We know we're allowed to do a bris mila on Shabbos. Can we do the preparations? As we learned there in the Gemara, they used to need hot water right after the bris. And if, let's say there is no hot water, may you conduct the bris mila or not? But there's an interesting machloikus rishonim, where let's say somebody prepared the hot water, knowing that there's going to be a meal on Shabbos, and then before the meal took place, And of course, if the meal already took place, and now for some reason that water is not available, the halacha, everybody agrees, is that you're allowed to warm up water. The question that came up is that the water spilled. I prepared the water, but the water before I actually did the meal spilled. The Ramban says that since I had prepared the water, everybody would agree that I'm allowed to do the meal, even though I'm going to have to cook water on Shabbos. The Balamah and the Rashba disagree. And they hold that you're not allowed to the Mila. And the Rashba brings a raya to his opinion from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that you're not allowed to shecht only if you had earth prepared from before Yontif. Now the question is, according to the Ramban, you could have a case that you'd be allowed to shecht even if you didn't have earth ready from before Yontif. If you prepared the earth and something happened to it. The fact that the Mishnah didn't teach us that then, says the Rashba Zaraya, that even though you did what you were supposed to do in preparing the earth, if when you shechted, you didn't have the earth, you're not allowed to do anything if I know I'm going to have to be Mechal Shabbos. But the Oinu Yontif asks a question that our Mishnah is teaching us, that when, as we said, that when you shecht the chay or oif, you have to do kisui adam. And our Mishnah is saying that if you don't have kisui, if you don't have offer ready, and you won't be able to do kisui adam, then the halach is that you should not, then you should not do it. The question is, why is the halach that way? The halach is, I need this bird, this animal to eat on yontif. I should do the shechita. And if I can't do Kisui Adam, I can't do Kisui Adam. So Rav Shach Tzatzal says a very bechidish. He says, we look at the Shechita and at the Kisui Adam as two separate acts. There's a Kisui Adam and there's the Shechita. Says Rav Shach Zeich Tzadik Levrocha, that that's not the way the halacha really is supposed to look at it. The Shechita is the conclusion of the Shechita is the conclusion. The Kisui Adam is the conclusion of the Shechita. And I can't do a half a Shechita, Shechita without Kisui Adam is not considered an act of Shechita. So our Gemara begins to discuss this egg that was hatched in Yontif. But my Iskinen, ask the Gemara exactly what type of chicken are we discussing in our Mishnah. This chicken is meant for eating, and therefore the chicken is not Muksa, because on Yontif, as we just learned, you're allowed to shech the chicken and then eat the chicken and prepare the chicken. So ask the Gemara if that's the case. My tamay de Beis Hillel. Why would Beis Hillel take such a strict view regarding the beya? Isn't the beya uchla the ephris? The beya is part of the chicken, and if the chicken is not a problem, the beya shouldn't be a problem. Ella, we're gonna have to say that our Mishnah speaking about a Targonos HaMeres L'Gal Beim. It's here to raise eggs. But if that's the case, my Tamay de Beis Shammai. Why is Beis Shammai being lenient and allowing us to eat the egg? Muksahi, the chicken is muksa, because the chicken is here L'Gal Beim. A regular animal or bird on Shabbos Yontif is muksa. And if this is part of it, the halacha is that it should be muksa, just like its mother is muksa. So here we learned the concept of uchla de ufris. Uchla de ufris means that if the mother is not muksa, then it too is not muksa, because it's considered an extension of the mother. And there's an interesting question. Our Gemara here is saying that a beya is considered uchla de ufris. When we use the word ochla de ofris, it means that the bay is considered an oichel. And this is a very important question regarding a number of issues. As we learned in Masech de Yuma, there's a different shear on Yom Kippur of how much you're not allowed to eat of an oichel. An oichel you're not allowed to eat a kosevis on Yom Kippur. And a mashka, a liquid, is maloy lugmav. So the question is, how do we look at a beya? Do we look at a beya as an oichel, or do we look at a beya as a mashka? The Chassam Sofer, in Shas Tshuvas Chassam Sofer, Yoridei Simen Yotes, says that a beya is considered like an oichel. And that's the opinion of the Pnei Maven, and the Marsham, and the Har Tzvi. Rav Shlomo Kluger, however, disagrees. And Rav Shlomo Kluger says that it's considered a mashka. And even though our Gemara calls it an ochla, it's not, says Rav Shlomo Kluger, to mean that we consider it an oichel. What he means to say is that it's part of the chicken, and the chicken is certainly considered a oichel, and therefore the beya that's in it would also be considered an oichel. So we're saying, if it's a beya that's a medes legad lebeyim, the Gemara said, if the mother is muksa, then this should be muksa as well. Says the Gemara, or my kusha, and therefore the question is, why did Beishame allow us to eat this beya? Says the Gemara, my kusha, what kind of question is that? Dilma, Beishame lesli muksa. As we're going to be discussing, and we learned this already in Masechta Shabbos as well, we're going to be discussing, is Islay Muksa, a Tana and a Myra holds a Muksa, lesli Muksa. It's very important to understand that statement. Everybody holds a Muksa. For example, even, as we're going to learn in the Shia today, Reb Shimon is more lenient than Hilchos Muksa than Reb Yehuda. That doesn't mean, explain all the Rishonim, that according to Reb Shimon, there is no concept of Muksa. Of course, according to Reb Shimon, there is a concept of Muksa. What Reb Shimon means to say is he has a more limited view of Muksa. But for example, Muksa Machs Mechsaron Kis, which is a very serious Muksa. Of course, Reb Shimon will agree that Muksa Machs Mechsaron Kis is Muksa. And what the Gemara here means to say is not that Beis Shammai doesn't hold a Muksa, but maybe what Beis Shammai holds, that something is only considered Muksa. What does the word Muksa mean? That it Machs Das, that you took it out of your mind. So only something which you don't have any intention to use on Shabbos Yontif becomes muksa. But this beya, people expect the chicken to hatch an egg, and therefore they doesn't make it into muksa, says the Gemara. Kusak datach, and this point of our Gemara, we are holding a fil man de shari be muksa, even the one who has the more lenient approach to muksa, benoilad, when something is in a category of muksa of noilad. Noilad means something that wasn't here before Shabbos and now is here, wasn't here before Yontov, wasn't here before Shabbos. Everybody will agree is muksa. That's considered a very serious type of muksa. And therefore, if the chicken that's being discussed in our Mishnah is a legal bayim, then the egg that's born is noilad. It's an entirely new thing that came into creation on Yontif. And why would Beis Shammai, my Tamid Beis Shammai, why would Beis Shammai take a lenient approach? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman Olam, B'tana Goros HaMeres L'Gal Beim. Our Mishnah is talking about a chicken that's here for eggs. Or the Islay Muksa, Islay Noila, the Gemara says, no. If you have this broader application of Muksa, then you're going to hold Noila as Muksa. If, however, the lesli muksa, you don't subscribe, you take the more limited view of muksa, just like you take a more limited view of muksa, also lesli noilad, you take a more limited view and you won't consider noilad muksa. And therefore, says the Gemara, Beis Shammai holds like Rav Shimon, that we just said has the more limited view of muksa, and not only does he have a limited view of muksa, he has a limited view of noilad as well. Beis Hillel, Rav Yehuda, and holds that noilad is muksa. Ask the Gemara, Umi Omer Rav Nachman Hachi, does Rav Nachman hold that Beis Hillel agrees with Rav Yehuda approach to Hilchas Muksa? For Tanan, Beis Shammai Omrim, Magbi Imal Ashokhan Atzomus V'Klipin. You have Atzomus V'Klipin that were left on the table, and they're muksa. According to Rashi, these peels and shells are not edible, not to people and to animals, and therefore they're completely muksa. However, Tosfos says that even if they're edible to animals, since they're not edible to people, they're considered muksa. Another way of explaining the Gemara, the Pnei Yeshua takes this approach, is that anything that's waste becomes muksa. And the only time you can move it is if it's a graf sharei. The definition of a graf sharei is that it's something that you don't want to have on your table where you're sitting on Shabbos. So here you have these muksa items. Beisil oimrim, you shouldn't touch them. What you should do is mesalak satal b'likula, pick up the entire table, or menara, and then shake it off where you can shake it off. V'amram Nachman, ano ein lanu, we don't accept the Mishnah as it's stated. Ela Beis Shammai k'Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman says Beis Shammai takes the stricter view, and he takes the stricter view about moving the bones. And Beis Hillel k'Rav Shimon. So the Gemara's question is, here we said the Beis Hillel has a stricter view of Muksa. And there we see the Beis Shammai is the one with the stricter view of Muksa. So Tosfos asks a question. We know there's a concept of Bosos L'davar Asur, that if you put something on a table or wherever, and you put it there, then the place under it also becomes Muksa, because it's Bosos L'davar Asur. So ask Tosfos, what did our Gemara say? That if you have these peels and shells on the table, which we just explained are Muksa, and you want to be able to get them out, pick up the table. But how could you pick up the table? Even the table is a Bosos L'davar Asur. So Tosfos says, according to Rabbeinu Tam, something doesn't become bosses unless it was your intention to leave it there for an entire day. Here, that wasn't your intention. That's why it's not a bosses. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that the only time we say bosses is when it's only a bosses l'davar osur. It's strictly there to hold something which osur. But if it's a bosses l'davar osur l'davar mutter, if it's used to hold something which is osur and mutter, it doesn't become a bosses. And therefore, Tosfos says that the table that we're speaking about in our Gemara did not only have these shells and peels, which are muksa, but they also had on the table something which is mutter, and that's why it's a bosos l'issa v'heter. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests, that it doesn't become bosses. The only time something becomes bosses is where I specifically want it on the table. This person doesn't necessarily specifically want that these shells and peels should be on the table, and therefore that doesn't make the table into a bosses. The Rashba says a different mahalach. The Rashba says the only time we say bosses is by the thing that's muksa is significant. But what we're talking about is totally insignificant. We don't say bosses. And therefore, says the Rashba, at some of the klipin are so insignificant that it can't make the table under them a bosses. Now there's another question. So the Mishnah teaches us that we could pick up the table and shake off the waste on the table somewhere else. The question is, how far could I carry it? Some Rishon, the Bi'ah Halacha, says that the Ramban holds that once, as we just learned in the Gemara, you're allowed to pick up the table. I could carry the table. Of course, you're not allowed to carry where you're not allowed to carry in Shabbos, but I could carry it as far as I want. The Shulchan Aruch, however, says that no, I have to drop them in the first spot that I can, and I can't move them past it. The halacha is that we paskin that we could take it, once you picked it up, you could carry it as far as you need to. So back to the Gemara's question, how can we say the Beis Hillel holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and Beis Shammai holds like Rabbi Shimon, what we see here, just Rabbi Nachman says just the opposite. Answers the Gemara, Amalach Rabbi Nachman, Shabbos, when we're speaking about Hilchos Shabbos, the Stam Lantana, where we have a Stam Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Rabbi Shimon, that follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, the Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Vav Amabeis teaches us, Mechatchan Sadlun Lefnei Behema, we're allowed to cut up the squash in front of an animal, and furthermore, as nevela fnei klevim, even though this animal became a nevela on Shabbos, so before Shabbos, it wasn't meant to be animal food. This Tana holds that there is no problem in moving it. He obviously does not subscribe like Rav Shimon. He obviously subscribes to Rav Shimon's interpretation of Muksa, so that's why Mekam like the Beis Hillel, Rav Shimon. As far as Hilchos Shabbos are concerned, you're allowed to take the more lenient, Rav Shimon's more lenient approach. Aval, here we're speaking about Yontif. In Yontif, Sosim Lantana, Rav Shimon, in Rav Yehuda. And when it comes to Hilchos Yontif, we see that the Stam Tana follows the opinion of Yehuda with a stricter interpretation of Muksa. The Tanan, we're going to learn a Mishnah later in the Masechta, the Flamen Aleph, Amen Aleph in Mitzvashem. It says, Eim Evakim Eitzim in Akairis. You have wood that's prepared to be used for building. V'loimen Akairis Nizbir B'Yontif. Or you have a beam that broke on Yontif. So in both of these cases, I'm using the wood for permitted use on Yontif. I'm allowed to make a fire. But if it was set up in Akairis, so then it's Muksa Machmas Chsarim Kis. or if the beam broke, since at the beginning the Shabbos was part of my home, now it's available to be broken up and used for firewood, we take the stricter approach of Rabbi Yehuda. That's why Mukum Lo Beis Hillel Rabbi Yehuda. That's why here we say Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Beis Hillel agrees with Rabbi Yehuda with the stricter interpretation of Hilchos Muksa. Ask the Gemara, Muhti. Let's understand. Man Stam L'Masnisen. Who was the author of the Mishnayos? The author of the Mishnayos was Rabbi. So ask the Gemara, Maishna B'Shabbos. Why a Masechta Shabbos Sosim Lon K'Reb Shimon? Does he take the lenient approach and takes Reb Shimon's approach to Hilchos Muksa? Or Maishna B'Yontif? And why, as far as Hilchos Yontif is concerned, says the Gemara, Sosim Lon K'Reb Yehuda, does he take the more the more stricter approach? And as I saw, the Pnei Yeshua explains the Gemara's question. The Gemara is specifically speaking about Rebbe. Because if it wasn't Rebbe, we could say that the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos represents the opinion of one Tana, and the Mishnah Masechta Beya represents the opinion of another Tana. But now that we're saying that both of these Mishnayos are Stam Mishnayos, and therefore, since they're both Mishnayos, Astam Mishnayos, which were authored by Rebbe, how do we understand this inconsistency that here he paskins like Rabbi Yehuda and he paskins like Rabbi Shimon? Answers the Gemara, Amri. Shabbos Tachamiri, people take Shabbos very seriously, and they're not going to not treat Shabbos with the seriousness in which Shabbos should be treated. That's why on Sosol and Rabbi Shimon DeMekel, we take the more lenient approach. However, Yontif Dekil, Yontif is not as strict as Shabbos, and therefore Chazal were concerned that Osel Zazulibay, people are not going to be so strict about Yontif. That's why Sosol and Rabbi Yehuda DeMachmer, we take this stricter approach. And as Rashi explains, Chazal were concerned that if we're going to be lenient with Yontif, we may end up being very lenient past where we're allowed to be. The Reinu Chananel explains that on Yontif we know Oichel Nefesh is Mutter. And since Oichel Nefesh is Mutter, so therefore people already take Yontif not as seriously. They cooked and they baked on Yontif. So in order to make sure that that is not abused, that's why in Hilchos Muksa there were more Machmor. Another pshat that I saw the Mefarshim explain, that on Shabbos, if somebody is Mechal Shabbos B'mezid, there's a Chiv Skila, there's a Chiv Karis. On Yontif, there is no Skila and Karis. And therefore, they were concerned that people don't treat Yontif with the seriousness that it has to be treated with. Another pshat that I saw in the Sefer Yireim, Shabbos people realize is very strict. How do they know that Shabbos is very strict? Because they, on Shabbos, they will not even carry. And as the first Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos teaches us, carrying is a melacha geruah. It's very hard to understand that melacha. How come you could carry in your house all day, but if you carry outdoors, it's a problem. And that's why Chazal was stricter when it came to Hilchos. They were stricter when it came. They knew people take Shabbos very seriously. Mash en kein yontif. Very interesting, machloikis achroinim. What happens? So we're saying on Shabbos we're more lenient, and on Yontif we're strict as far as Hilchos Muksa. What's going to be halacha if Yontif falls on Shabbos? Do we treat that day as Shabbos, or do we treat that day as Yontif as far as Hilchos Muksa is concerned? The Shas Hatshuvas Rav Poalim Chelik Aleph Arachayim Simin Lamed takes the lenient approach and says we treat it like Shabbos. On the other hand, the Shas Hatshuvas Elif L'Chashleima Arachayim Simin Shin Lamed Beis takes the stricter approach and he says it's treated like Yontif. Says the Gemara, B'mai Kumta. So now, says the Gemara, let's take stock. Have we explained the Mishnah? The Mishnah is speaking about a Tanagolos Amedes L'Gadol Beim. It's a chicken that's meant to raise eggs. Tanagolos Amedes L'Gadol Beim. And the question is, Mishnah Muksa. Ask the Gemara, If that's the question, since there was no intention to use that chicken, so ask the Gemara, Yahachi, instead of Adam Miflegi, instead of arguing about the Beya, why don't they argue about the Tanagoilus? Answers the Gemara, L'diachin koich de Beishamai, that not only Beishamai lenient on the chicken, but Beishamai is even going to be lenient regarding the egg, which we said is a big chiddush, because the egg is noilad. It's something that came into creation. And as we said earlier, something that comes into creation, we treat more strictly. We'll ask the Gemara, but instead of telling us how lenient Beis Shammai is, ask the Gemara, Leflugi b'tanagoilus, why don't we argue over the chicken? And if we'll argue over the chicken, we'll see l'diach koichin beis hillel, that not only the egg, which wasn't in existence before Yontif, may not be eaten on Yontif, but even the chicken, there was oymid legal beim, because they're going to hold mukse asiri. The chitema. So if you'll say the reason why we prefer to speak about the egg over the chicken is to show how lenient Beis Shammai is, because koich da tere adif, because we always, and we'll explain this more, we always want to point out the more lenient approach. Ask them, we have niflug betavayu. So then, let's, the Mishnah speak both about the chicken and the egg. Tell us, tanagalos amedes legal beim. Here, Beit Sasa, when we talk about the chicken and its egg, Beit Shammai retoichel, Beit Shammai is going to lenient on both. Beit Shammai am leitoichel, if that's the way to understand the Mishnah. So here we learn that the Gemara tells us, koich de tere odif. And Rashi explains that what's pshat koich de tere odif is that it's much easier, says Rashi, to be machmer than to be mekel. Because if I don't know what to do, my natural reaction is to be machmer. But to be mekel, to be lenient, one can't be lenient unless he's confident that he has every right to be lenient. And that's why the Gemara is saying that koyach that tere odif. And there's a discussion here when we speak about koyach that tere odif. Rashi says that we can't be mekel unless we have a right to be mekel. So I saw the Ksav Sofer and other Achroinim say, well, that isn't necessarily the case. The case is that we know that when somebody has a shaila, so if it's a Sofek deraisa, we're mekel. We're machmer. When it's a Sofek derabbanan, we're mekel. So it's not just that if we don't know what to do, we're automatically going to be machmer. So the Shach in the Hanhogus of Iros Issevahet and Ois Tes says, Shem she'osu l'hater es ha'osur, just like you're not allowed to eat, be mekel, you're not allowed to say something which is osur is mutter, kach osu la'eses ha'mutter, you're not allowed to say something which is mutter is osur. And he goes on to explain, besides that the fact that you know, there's a financial situation. How could I say something which is mutter is osur? How could I say something which is osur is mutter? He says a very important word. He says that there's no absolutes in life. And even though it looks like a chumrah that I'm paskening, it can result in a kula, or vice versa. And therefore, that those that want to say that that's part of what Al Gemara means. Koich da tere odif, but you have to know to not just be machmer without knowing that it's the right thing to do. And only if you really don't know what to do, then is the halacha that you should be machmer. And in fact, I saw that there were paiskim, there were machmer, that was the paiskim, that when they were asked to shaila and they didn't know what to answer, they weren't machmer, because the shach says you have no right to be machmer when you don't know. Or they weren't mekel, even if it was a derabbanan. You know what they did? They said, we don't know. So our Gemara teaches us that koich da tere odif. So I saw a beautiful word. The Chazal, in Masech the Brachas, Tav Chesom and Aleph, teach us, Godl ha-nenem yigiyai kapoi, somebody who benefits from his labor is greater than Yosem Yerushmayim. Dila b'Yerushmayim ksiv, ashe ish yiras Hashem. And when it comes, that's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yud Beis. And Perek Kuf Chof Ches, it says, Yigia kapecha kisoichel ashrecha v'toivlach. So when we learn this Gemara, it's very difficult to understand. Just because somebody worked and that makes him greater than the person who's a Yerushalayim. So the Maram Mekeves Mishnah explains that Gemara beautifully. He says, as Rashi just said, that sometimes a shayla is brought to a Rav, and he's not prepared to be lenient, so he just says machmer. Why? Because he's a Yerushalayim. But what should he do? It's easy to say, says the Merkavas Mishnah, I'm a Yerushalayim, and I'm going to be machmer. But that's not what Chazal wanted from us. What Chazal wanted, what the Torah wants from us, is Yigia Kapoy. Sit down and learn. Sit down and work on the sugya. If after you work and learn the sugya, you'll come out that you have to be machmer, so you'll be machmer. But don't be machmer just because it's your Yerushalayim. The Gemara says that's not a good enough reason to be machmer. So now we've learned till now that we assumed that the explanation of Gemara of our Mishnah, the Machlok B'Sham Beis Hillel, was related to the subject of Muksa. But now the Gemara says if that was the subject of our Mishnah, then it would have spoken not just about the egg, it should have spoken about the chicken as well. And therefore, Rabbi gives a different interpretation of the Machlokes of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Elam Rabbi L'Olam Tanegolos HaMeres L'Achila. The chicken that we're speaking about is a chicken that's meant for Achila. And we're speaking about Beyonta Shchalius Achas Shabbos Siskinen. Beyonta fell on Sunday. And the reason why the Beyim may not be eaten according to Beis Hillel, Shema Chana. Because there's a new concept, and that is the concept of Achana. Kesavar Rabbi, if the egg was hatched on Sunday, when was it prepared? When was it about to come out of its mother's body? From the day before. And Rabbi now is following his opinion. The Pasuk says, regarding the mon that came down for Shabbos. The Pasuk says, that on Erev Shabbos, they prepared everything for Shabbos. From here we learn, says Rabbi, Chol Mechel Shabbos, a weekday should prepare for Shabbos, Chol Mechel Yontif, and a weekday is when you prepare for Yontif. Ein Yontif Mechel Shabbos, but you can't prepare on Yontif for Shabbos, Vein Shabbos Mechin Le Yontif, nor can you prepare on Yontif for Shabbos. So if this egg that's being born on Sunday, Rabbi says, got prepared on the day before, so that means that the Yontif de Gamil got prepared on Shabbos. But we're learning now that the Yontif de Gamil is not allowed to be prepared on Shabbos. It has to be prepared during the weekday. And therefore, this egg, which was prepared on Shabbos, may not be eaten. If that's the case, because it's Yontif fell on Sunday, so then on a regular Yontif, which doesn't follow Shabbos, Yontif Alma Tishrei. There we don't have the problem that it was prepared on the day before, which was Shabbos. The day before is Erev Yontif. Answers the Gemara, Zera Mishim Yontif Achas Shabbos. On a regular Yontif, it ought not to be Aser. The reason Beis Hillel was Machmer, because in the case when Yontif falls on Sunday, and ask the Gemara, Shabbos to Alma Tishrei, on a regular Shabbos, which doesn't fall the day after Yontif, the egg that's born on Shabbos was muchen from the day before, because we're saying the egg is always prepared the day before. Why can't we eat it? The answer is the Gemara, again, Mishum Shabbos after Yontif. If Shabbos will fall the day after Yontif, Yontif was Friday, then it turned out the Shabbos to Gemil became muchen on Shabbos, the Shabbos to Gemil got muchen on Yontif, and we learned Shabbos to Gemils have to get muchen during the week. Ask the Gemara, me, Gazrinan, do we make such gezeiros? If somebody checks a chicken or matzah bebein gemurms, and you find full-fledged eggs in the chicken, mitaros lachlan b'yontif, we may eat them on yontif. Vim isa, if we're saying that eggs that are born on yontif or on Shabbos may not be eaten, ligzim mishum hanach, the mishyad b'yameim. So just like if I shechted the chicken and I find the egg, just like if the egg was born, we're learning now it may not be eaten. So why when I shechted the chicken and found the egg in it, may it be eaten? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Rabba. So Amalei Rabba responds to Abaya. Be'ez gemurus b'mei iman. To find a full-fledged egg in its mother's stomach Milsala Shchicha, it's highly unlikely. And we have a rule, Milsala Shchicha LeGozer Barabotan. Chazal didn't make Gzera. So here we're learning that there's a new concept, the concept of Hachana. So, and we're learning that Beya Shanol de Biyantif is also because it was maybe prepared on Shabbos the day before. So Rekiva Eger asks a question. He says, Sudas Yontif, we say, needs Hachana. Because it's a Sudas Yontif that we're mechuyiv to eat. Rekiva Eger has a discussion if women are mechuyiv in Sudas Yontif. So if women are not mechuyiv in Sudas Yontif, so then why is there a concept of achana that the meal had to be prepared before? Women don't have that halacha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, this is Rekiv Eger's question. And because of this question, there are many that want to suggest that women are mechuyiv in Sudas Yontif. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that even if women are not mechuyiv in Oynig Yontif, they're still mechuyiv in Sudas Yontif. He says there's two separate concepts. There's a concept of Sudas Yontif, and there's a concept of Oynig Yontif. And even if women are exempt from Oynig Yontif, they're mechuyiv in Sudas Yontif, and therefore for women there would also be a concern of Achana. And based on this word from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, it would be really relevant. Because if women are exempt from Sudas Yontif, so the halacha ought to be that if a woman didn't say Yalav Yavai by Sudas Yontif, if she's not mechuyiv, she wouldn't have to repeat the Berachas Hamazon. But if Shlomo Zalman is saying that women are mechuyiv in Sudas Yontif, it's only a question of Oynig Yontif, that if they miss Yalav Yavai, they would have to prepare it. So here we're learning the concept of Achana. So I saw that the Tver Shlomo says a beautiful word. He says that Hachana, from here we see that Hachana is not just a right thing to do, that before you do a mitzvah, you should get yourself ready to do the mitzvah. Rather, says the Tver Shlomo, Hachana has its own independent value. And that's what we're learning here, that when we speak about Shabbos meal, when we speak about a Yontif meal, Hachana is an integral part of the mitzvah. And that's the way a Jew is supposed to approach the way he does. That's the way he's supposed to approach doing the mitzvah.